الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى الحمد لله منفي الخلق من عدم ثم الصلاة على المختار في القدم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك على رسولك خير الخلق كلهم يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على بشير النذير محمدا مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على طه سيد المرسلين بلغ سلامي روضة فيها النبي المحترم يا خير من جفنت بالقاء أعظمه فطاب من طيبهن القاع والأكم روح الفدا لقبر أنت ساكنه فيه الأفاق وفيه الجود والكرم هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته لكل هول من الأحوال مقتحم يا رب بلغ بالمصطفى مقاصدنا واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين صدق الله مولانا العظيم. First things first, my very dear and close friend Maulana Ibrahim, the son of our great and illustrious Ustad Hafiz Abdul Rahman Miasab, has passed away. And we were very close while we were studying in Mias Farm, when we were studying in Dioban, and all along, alhamdulillah, we had a very good relationship. May please dua that Allah makes his complete maghfirah, grants him the highest stages. Let us all read three times Qul Huwallah and pass the sawab to Hazrat Maulana and also to all our marhumeen of the Ummah, inshaAllah. Last week, we had to make this Isale Sawab for another very close friend of us, Maulana Sulaiman Ganji Sahab. This week, all of us should take a lesson from this also. We don't know the next minute, the next day, the next week, whose turn it might be. And whatever we can prepare for Akhirat, we should try and do. Hadrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Maulana Muhammad Zakaria Sahab, Rahmatullah Ali, was on one of his journeys to Hijaz Muqaddas, to Makkah Sharif, Medina Sharif. And he stayed a few days with his friends, his khalifas, his murids in Bombay. The second or third day, he gathered all his khalifas and all the close associates and told them, see, I've been in Bombay just 2 days, and both days I completed whole Quran Sharif, and I passed it to all the marhumin of Bombay. And this is my habit, whichever town, wherever I go, I make Quran Sharif khatam, and I pass the sawab to the marhumin of that town. And I request all of you also to do the same. And that is why I'm narrating this. We all should try and make this happen. And then Hazrat explained, reading Surah Ikhlas, Qul Huwallahu Ahad, according to Hadith, you get the sawab of the whole Quran. So how long will it take to read 3 times Qul Huwallahu? Whenever we enter a town, many of us are negligent of this also, to read the du'as of entering the town. Allahumma barik lana fiha, warzuqna janaha, etc. We should try and do that also. As we are passing the shopping centers, the business place, read the 4th kalima. Whenever we have to go through in our businesses, we have to go shopping, read the 4th kalima. This is such a gift that we go and do shopping, we're spending money. But Allah made our deen such you will gain for your akhirah. A person who reads one time the fourth kalima, and if we can make this little addition, La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah, lahul mulku wa lahul hamd, yuhyi wa yumeet, wa huwa hayyun la yamut. Add that will be in the business places. Bi yadil khayr wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir. 1 million sawabs we get from. Who's going to do shopping for 1 million rand? Even 1 million rand can't compare with 1 sawab. Sawab is eternal. And what won't we get? We can get so much of a reward. So read that when we pass it. May read 3 times, Qul Huwallah. Some towns are such, we pass the Qabristan and still we don't think of our dear people. We don't think of our mom. We should do this. And always when we get the news of somebody having passed away, don't just pass some funny remarks. Make isali sawab, make dua al maghfirah. And this benefits them tremendously. And immediately they get the benefit. Shaykh Muhyiddin ibn al-Arabi rahmatullah alayhi was a very great buzurg. He was in Spain. A buzurg from Spain. And on one occasion he invited some people for meals. And amongst them was a young boy also. And it was famous, this boy gets kashf. Kashf means that Allah shows a person something which other people can't see. Whether it's happening now somewhere, before it happened, afterwards, Allah shows somebody. So while they were eating, suddenly the boy screamed and cried. So the Shaykh asked him, what's wrong? Why you suddenly, what's happening? He says, I see my mother is burning in the fire of Jahannam. So the Shaykh had many quotas of La ilaha illallah 70,000 times. It comes in the hadith, من قال لا إله إلا الله 70,000 مرة غفر لمن قال ولمن قيل. A person who reads La ilaha illallah 70,000 times, and for whom he passes that sawab, he is also forgiven, and to whom he passed it, that person is also forgiven. And to read 70,000 times is not difficult. The Islamic year has got 355 days. So 5 days Allah gave us grace also. Qurbani time you ate too much meat and now you cannot do your ma'amulat, etc. So 350 days times 200 is 70,000. So every 2 years if you read 100 times a day you can have a quota of 70,000. And if you read every day 200 times, morning 100, evening 100, every year you'll have a quota of 70,000. So in that you pass it on sometimes to your mother, sometimes to your father, sometimes to anyone else, your ustad, your sheikh, whoever you want. So then both the persons will get forgiven. So the sheikh had many such quotas. So immediately without any expression on his face, without any word, just in his heart, he immediately transferred 1 quota to the boy's mother. Immediately he saw the boy smiling, laughing. He asked, now what's wrong? He says, I see my mother is enjoying in Jannah. The Shaykh says, from this I learned 2 lessons. That from this hadith, that I learned this boy's kashf is genuine, he's not making stories. Genuinely. And from his kashf, I realized this hadith is a sahih hadith. That this happens. And what we can learn further, that this transfer takes more faster effect than even electronic transfer. Sometimes your computer may be down, it's not working. But this transfer, how fast the sawab reached her, and she got transferred from Jahannam to Jannah. So always make, and our Shaykh rahmatullah alayhi has written, you make dua of maghfirat for your marhumin. Oh Allah, forgive my father. Oh Allah, forgive my mother. Whoever, it is simple. Just few. The sawab they get is more than dunya wa mafiyah. More than this whole world and what is in this dunya, so much so. And they know exactly who sent it also. And they become extremely happy and they make dua for you also. And they appreciate. So always when we get the dua of any person who has passed away, not just news that it is, this is what we should do. May Allah give us tawfiq, inshaAllah. The ayat of the Quran Sharif I have recited. Allah Ta'ala say, addressing the believers who are his friends. And a friend always want good for his friend. So Allah is saying, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. And all of us, we accept and we admit we have brought iman. We are the people of iman. So in other words, really think of it, Allah is telling each one of us individually, personally, Allah is speaking to us. Every ayat, Allah is speaking to us. Imam Shafi'i, rahmatullah alayhi, says, if a person reads the Quran Sharif, and after that he takes qasam, I spoke to Allah, his qasam is correct. He doesn't have to give kaffara for his qasam. That he took a wrong qasam. His qasam is correct. So in Quran Sharif recitation, we are speaking to Allah. Allah is speaking to us. Maulana Abdul Ghani Phulpuri, rahmatullah alayhi, was a very great buzurg. He says that the Quran Sharif is a 30 supara love letter from Allah to his banda. That how you should love, why you are in this world, how if your child goes overseas and in a dangerous place, you will send email after email, SMS after SMS, phone after phone, be careful for this, be careful for that. The water in that place is not safe, don't drink the water. They are very dangerous people, criminals, rogues, be careful, don't go out at night. How much will you say? Allah sent 30 supara, what a love letter. And for us individually, amongst all that guidance which Allah has given us, is this one very important ayat also, where Allah is speaking to us, Ya ayyuhallazina amanu, oh my friends, I'm giving you this advice, I'm guiding you, I'm telling you what is very good for you, what is absolutely essential for you. What is it? Ittaqullah. Acquire taqwa. And in order to acquire taqwa, وَكُونُوا مَا الصَّادِقِينَ. That is where you will acquire taqwa, those people who are sadiq bit taqwa, who have got genuine, sincerely who have got taqwa, stay with those people. And the criteria to judge, we're not going to take imtihan of the people, what your heart tells you. Ask your heart. Does your heart tell you this is genuinely Allah wala? If your heart tells you so, stay with that person. So this is basically what we have to discuss, 3 points, and very briefly. The first point, so much I wanted to say, I've said that Allah is speaking to his friends. Ittaqullah acquire taqwa. Now what is this taqwa? Also, and where you get it from, the khanqa, what is the khanqa? What is this what we call islah and tazkiyah we are hearing? We are hearing it's a islahi majlis today. What is the islahi majlis? At one time, when the Muslims came to South Africa, here in the Transvaal Natal area, Cape Town Muslims came long before. Then, alhamdulillah, Allah reward our elders, everywhere they established small madrasa maktab. And they established Jamaat Khana, Musalla, Masjid, they made everywhere. Wherever they were, 5, 6 families, 3, 4 families, Masjid, Musalla. Then round about the 60s, alhamdulillah, work of Tabligh started. Before that we didn't know about the work of Tabligh. Now alhamdulillah about 50 years and everyone knows about the work of Tabligh. Some people might not agree with it, but everyone knows what it, even the government knows. Their intelligence also, they work on it all the time. They also know the work of there were no Darul Ulooms in our country. Alhamdulillah, now when Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Maulana Muhammad Zakaria Sahib came in the 80s, the end before that 10 years, Darul Uloom Newcastle had started. Now alhamdulillah, how many Darul Ulooms in the country? Now, many people didn't know how to pronounce Darul Uloom also. They say Ulooms, or many other words they use, etc. But now alhamdulillah, that has become quite common also. Then when Hazrat Shaykh came also, then the Khanqa, Hazrat came for Khanqa, people started becoming aware. Then our other great buzurgs, Qari Muhammad Tayyib Sahib, Mufti Shafi Sahib, Hazrat Maulana Masihullah Sahib, and our Shaykh came and they worked on this. Now mashallah, many places we have been about the Khanqa. Khanqa Zakaria, where Hazrat Maulana Ibrahim Sahib was in land. Now mashallah, they called it also after his Shaykh's name, Khanqa Zakaria. Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, his khanqa in Durban, many khanqas also have started. Now this still is not so common, we are not so aware. So just 5 questions I thought of and answers, we try to answer those 5 questions. What is this khanqa? What is islah? What is tazkiyah? What is it to become a murid, to become bayat? What is it? The second thing, that what is the importance of it in our deen, in our lives? What is the importance of it? And also, what is the importance of it with relationship to the other efforts of deen?
We have madrasa, we have ulama, they are doing imamah, they are teaching madrasa. Then we have tabligh work that is carrying on. We have Darul Ulooms, all the other efforts of deen which are carrying on. Then what are the benefits of it? What is the benefit of associating and becoming a murid, making one's islah all this year? And if we don't do it, are there and what are the harms of it? And then finally, where do we go? In order, if we think this is right, there is benefit in it, I must save myself from the harm, to who must we go and where must we go? I'll just try and answer these five questions and we'll end the bayan, inshaAllah. So the first, what is all this tazkiyah? What we speak about, islah, if we speak about taqwa al-mumasakwaya. A few examples will have make it very vivid and clear, inshaAllah, and we'll understand. Nobody likes that he must have blood pressure, that he must have cholesterol, his sugar levels are very high, any sickness, nobody likes it. But it comes in every person. And when it comes in a person, you take treatment. That is called tazkiyah. That is called purification. You take your treatment. And to take treatment of any physical disease, cancer, heart problems, whatever it can be, headache or itching in the body, whatever, or ulcers or gout or whatever it can be, it's not faraz to take treatment. 100% permission is in deen. And it is sunnah to take treatment, but it's not faraz to take treatment. And if you take treatment, there are two things. You might get better, you might die, you might not get better. And if you get better, you're not going to live forever in any case. You're still going to die. You might spend a big amount of money, but still you're going to die. That is a fact. So, and then when you die, and sometimes some people are in so much difficulty and pain, that even close family people in their heart they say, now if Allah take him away, he's better. We can't see the suffering he's going through. How much he's suffering, Allah take him away. And when he dies, we say, Alhamdulillah, now he's in peace. Now the pain is, he's relieved from it. So that is physical. Exactly the same, spiritual diseases also come in a person. They also come by themselves, nobody brings them in. Pride comes in a person. To do things for name and fame. Just today, one friend of ours explained, and this comes to every person. One person who is from Cyprus and is a big sheikh, and he has got murids in South Africa also, he's got his khalifa also. At the beginning, they were very sincere, they were very good and lot of good work. But he got influenced by some other Turkish sheikh. And then he started going off track. Anyone can go off track. And we can go off track in such a way, a sheikh who was sincere. Any person can go off track. If Allah's help is not, if Allah's fazl is not on you, you can easily go off track. So then what he started claiming, that his namaz is maaf, he doesn't have to make namaz. Roza sa maaf, he doesn't have to make parda from woman. So like these all things. So if a person doesn't have a proper share, he can easily go off. So this is very, very dangerous. One lady wrote on email today, her mother has got weird ideas of Islam. She didn't have anyone to guide her. Where she grew up, no proper Islamic education, no maktab ta'lim, no proper education, and lot of superstition, and lot of all other wrong things have come into the. So this is that, or these things come into a person. Now you need treatment for this. And just as we have physical hospitals, we have types of hospital government, many private clinics also you must be having. Like that, we have to have spiritual hospitals also in every town. Every town has to have a spiritual hospital also. So important, the body, the most happens is you're going to die. But with spiritual ailments, it comes in the hadith, that a person who doesn't make his islah, doesn't come on the right path, he will cause more harm. And this is a person who's got position, like an alim, for example, the imam. Any person, if he did not make his islah, he will cause more harm than two hungry wolves that are let loose in a flock of sheep. How won't he devour and eat them up? If a person doesn't make his islah, he will cause more harm to that with regard to his deen. And with regard to his akhirat, he will make dunya his object. He will keep contact with people for dunya's sake, etc. For name, fame, praises, etc. So that is how important it is. So this one time, one Khalifa of Hazrat Maulana Shah Abdul Harun Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was in a hospital in Bombay. They had to do some operation, whatever. So they asked him for his signature. So he said, first I will ask my spiritual doctor. He said, who is your spiritual doctor? We are doctors here. Who is the spiritual doctor? So he said, call all the doctors of the hospital and I'll explain to you people who is a spiritual doctor. They gathered all the doctors. Then we explained to them, see, all the time people are taking our blood test. Today's treatment is mainly test after test. This test, that test, this test, that test, this test all the time. Mm-hmm. In there you see how much, what's our sugar level, what's the cholesterol, how's the thyroid, overactive, underactive, how many kidneys, liver, how many things you check in that blood in there. Tell me, in that blood what you take, can you check how much anger have I got in me? How much pride have I got in me? How much am I doing things for name and show, riyakari, sum'a, have I got in me? All those diseases, how much ghibat am I making? Backbiting. They said, no, that we can't check. They said, that is the work of a spiritual doctor. So as we all know, and we give so much importance to our physical health, our spiritual health, wallah, is much more important. It is farz ain on every individual to take treatment for his spiritual ailments. We have got anger in us, our eyes are not under control, we are looking down upon people, we are thinking bad about people. These are mohlik, worse than cancer diseases. And this without treatment is not going to go away. And when you die, it's not now you are relieved, you are in peace. If we did not take treatment and we did not make tawbah and Allah did not forgive us, we cannot imagine the severe punishment that will start in the qabr. More worse than the punishment of the than problems of this dunya. So that is how important it is. That is what this tazkiyah is, to purify ourselves. Then the importance of it, which already inshallah we could have understood, how important it is that this tazkiyah must be done. How important a person who feels, I don't need it. And this is a common disease which our ulama explained, which comes in ulama first. Because they got Quran, they got hadith. Kalla innal insana layadha. And Allah has mentioned this ayat after knowledge. When knowledge comes in a person, it creates also a sense of pride. I don't need anyone to guide me, I got Quran to guide me. I got hadith. And those who are not alims, who haven't got Quran and hadith to guide them, how much don't they need a guide? Every person needs a guide. If we don't have a guide, then how will we know what is the right? For example, nobody of us could have known what is alif, what is ba, till we had a guide which we call an ustad, who taught us this is alif. And how long they had to make magaj mari with us? That small child always reading upside down. And for ba, ta, ta, how many mistakes is jim, ha, fa, how is, but this one is making mistake. His mother who had taught him at home, whoever, how lot of they to sir kapanita, they to hit their heads against the wall to teach their child. So for alif, ba, ta, ta, that is so important. Then for to cleanse ourselves of spiritual diseases, how important, how much more necessary is not that. So these are things that all of us, so many of us who feel I don't need somebody to guide me, I'm sufficient myself. If you know English, doesn't mean you're a doctor, all the medical books are in, medicine books are in English. Doesn't mean you're a lawyer, all the medical law books are in English. You go and study in a law university, law school. You go and study in a medical college, then you'll become a doctor. So this also, you have to go into that field. Our Buzurgs have said it so beautifully and they have summed it up. Jo apne aap ko mustaqil is zaat samajhta hai. Any person who thinks I don't need somebody to guide me, I'm sufficient on my own, wo mustaqil bad zaat hota hai. That person is an epitome of evil completely. A person who doesn't, the Sahaba, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, But they made the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was their sheikh. They followed him. The minute Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, they made bay'at to Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. Nobody stayed without a sheikh. The famous saying that a person who hasn't got a sheikh, shaitan is his sheikh. What does it mean? Shaitan will mislead you. You haven't got a guide, shaitan will take you. Your car, you are traveling. While it's under control, no problem. You're moving 180, you're even moving 200, it's under control. But when it's out of control, you haven't got a share, you are out of control. That car, even at 10 kilometers, is so dangerous. So you need all the time somebody to guide you. And if you did come right, like I explained about this certain share, now if you came right and you feel now I don't need guidance, I can stay on my own, now I'm sufficient. This is like you take a ball and you throw it up. It will go up, 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 and it will reach a certain point. Does it stay there on top? It comes down faster than what it went up. As soon as a person thinks that my Islah has to be made, now my Islah is made, now I'm right on top, and I don't need anyone, that one comes down faster than what he went up. And for such people, our Buzurg say, ye salih kya, ye muslih kya rahega, salih bhi nahi rahega. What this person, though he might have hundreds of thousands of murids also, what, he won't be able to make the Islah of other people, he himself won't even remain pious. We all know the sunnah of Allah Ta'ala, the sunnah of our deen and Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has a guide. And when your guide passes away, or you cannot communicate with him, you cannot benefit from him from any reason, then make another guide from who you can benefit. And also at this point, as Maulana Yaqub Sahib or somebody explained, that our tasawwuf, our tazkiya of our share, he says 100% mudallal, proof from Quran and Hadith. And this is the system of Hazrat Maulana Shah Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah. Otherwise, many people become bay'at but no contact with the share. They just, when I also became bay'at to our Shaykh, Hazrat Maulana Shah Haki Muhammad Akhtar Sahib. One day we were talking with Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, and in the discussion he told me, and he brought a great point to my mind. He said, we became bay'at to Hazrat Hakim Sahib, and like everyone else, everywhere else with other mashayikh, well, that's the end of the story. You just become bay'at and finish, you go home and sleep. And then you carry on with your work, what you want to do, and finish, end of the story. But he said, Hazrat Hakim Sahib, Jazahumullah Khair, may Allah raise his stages, and may Allah Ta'ala make him the king of the awliya. He never left us. He was on our path. That is not just becoming bay'at, okay, bay'at jana. That you just become bay'at and now you sit. No, he worked on this, continuously was on our back, so to say. So that is the thing, that your Islam has been, not just that you became bay'at, now it's finished. You don't even write a letter to your sheikh. You have no contact. You never even ask it. Many people who are like in contact, but no mashura they make with their sheikh. The spiritual progress for that, they don't discuss that. That is also, though you are bay'at, though you are in contact also, but the purpose of bay'at is not there. You won't benefit to those who take the treatment. For example, you go to doctor and you tell doctor, mashallah, my health is very good. I shukar Allah, I got no problem. No cough, no arthritis, no headaches, no sugar. Doctor will ask, why you came here? People don't tell the doctor what, and as though they got no problem. That we haven't got eye problem, we haven't got problem of looking down upon anyone, we haven't got problem of worrying about our akhirat, as though they got no problem. So such a person doesn't progress. A person who writes his problems and gets the solutions and follow those solutions, that person will benefit. So that we can see, hopefully, I hope we could have briefly in this little time explained what is this whole thing about and the importance of it. And then in relationship, there is also a common question that I'm in Jamaat work, it's enough. I'm an alim, I don't have to go Khanqah. I'm in Khanqah, I don't have to go in Jamaat work. What is the relationship? Or I follow this sheikh, that person says I follow that sheikh, and all things like that.
So what is the relationship of all this world? For that I will give one little example of one great Buzurg who explained this to us, that there was a king who had three sons, and all three sons came of marriageable age, and all three wanted to marry the neighbor's king's daughter. So they told the father that we want to marry the neighbor king, his daughter. So the father said, if I take three proposals, there can't be anyone stupid like me. How can you go and propose for three people? And then, if I take one of your proposals, the other two will become my enemies. Because marriage is such a thing, a person is, he just wants to get married, that girl which he wants to. And now the father didn't take the other two's proposals, then they will become my enemies. So you go yourself and you propose. Whoever he chooses, that person will get married. So the three went, they proposed. That king said, I've decided since long, I'm going to give my daughter to such a person who's got some great achievement, who's like, we'll say, big degrees in his life. Like he's a very rich man or anything, like a top man, somebody who's got something like that. For that, kings were very rich in the past. Take as much money from me as you want to, and I give you 2 years' time. Some achievement, bring some achievement in you. They went, after 2 years they came. He asked the first person, what achievement you got? He said, what we call kashf, what I explained. That I can see, Allah shows me things of any person in the world, anywhere. Oh, this is something very great. You got that kashf like this, you can know anything what is happening. He asked the second person, he said that I've made effort and I've acquired what is called tayyul ard. That is, you just close your eyes and I can transport you wherever you want to be. You want to be in Makkah Sharif now, you want to be in London now, you want to be in Delhi now, wherever, in 1 second I can transport. Oh, that is also very great. The third person, that I've acquired such a medicine that a person can be as sick as he can, about to die now, extremely weak, all hope, all organ failure, everything. You just give that medicine, he comes right immediately. So the king said, oh, for all three, what great achievements. The first one told him, tell us, how's my daughter, what's her condition? So he checked up and he said that she's so ill that she's going to die now. She's completely finished, she's on bus about going to die. Told the second one, transport us there. He transported all of them immediately there. He told the third one, give the medicine. She gave the medicine, she came right. This was now just a story to understand the lesson. What was the lesson? That all three of them, with such great achievements, none of them can say, I saved the girl. If the first one didn't show her condition, then even reaching there, they wouldn't have reached there. The medicine would just have remained in the bottle. If he told the condition, but they couldn't reach her in time, still she should die. If he showed the condition, they reached in time, but no medicine, still she should. So all three, when they work together, they say. Then the Maulana Khalil, of Jeoband, who told us this, he said that the ulama are, so to say, doing the work of kashf. That from Quran and Hadith, they see that what should the ummah be doing, what is the ummah doing, what's going to happen in the qabr, what's going to help us, this dunya is just the passing, they inform us of all this. Your real object is the qabr, is the akhirah, Allah's unseen system is working, so they tell us that which we can't see from the Quran and Hadith. The Jamaat brothers, Tabligh Jamaat, they take us to every individual. MashaAllah, we know our Jamaat brothers. You go to America, you go to Europe, in that concrete jungle, they let you go and meet who and who. Meet this brother, very good brother of ours. Speak to him little bit. They take you in the jungles of Africa, in the villages of Asia. They let you meet every person. And the Khanqa people give the medicine. So if all three work together, the ulama, the Tabligh Jamaat, and Khanqa people, the ummah will get saved. And if we pull ourselves apart, that only we are doing work, others are wasting time, then we will break the ummah. And the breaking of the ummah is not just I'm breaking the effort of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who came to build the ummah, to save the ummah, to unite the ummah. We shouldn't do anything that breaks the ummah. One time, Maulana Abrar al-Haq sahab rahmatullah alayhi was in the UK. They were having supper, and while having supper, someone said, Hazrat, some people say only one work you must do, no other work you must do. Hazrat didn't speak anything. When he started his bayan, he started from here. Who said that only eyes are necessary? Tongue is not necessary. Who said ears are necessary? Nose is not necessary. Who said brains are necessary? Heart is not necessary. Who said hands are necessary? Legs are not. In detail he explained. Everything is necessary. Without one thing. So every effort of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and this is from the Quran, how many ayats were you zakkihim? قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا how many يُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابُ وَالْحِكْمَةُ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ how many ayats of the Quran? This is also one important department of deen. And it, with all other departments, this is also important. If you build the best mansion in the house, forget a kitchen or lounge or bedroom, if you haven't got a toilet in your mansion, that house is incomplete. Everything has to be there. If you, in the building of the house, if you say only the land surveyor is important, only the architect is important, plumber is useless, he's wasting time, or electrician is useless, wasting time, that house is not complete. All of them understand with one another, give one another chance to work, the house now, if that house is built, but there is no plumbing done, no water, that house is incomplete. If there is no electricity, so everything, so every department of deen is important. And all of us, if we understand with one another, we have muhabbat, the eyes work, the tongue cannot do. The brains work, the heart cannot do. We all do our work, how much we can, we help one another, but together. So this is how important it is, and the importance of the relationship with all the others. What are the benefits of this work? This work, one time, one person went to an alim and asked him, what is Sharia, Tariqat and Haqiqat? So he told him, go in the masjid, there are three buzurg sitting there. Give each one shot at the back. And then you come and report to me what happened and what they say. So the first one he went, he gave him one shot, he jumped up and he gave him one shot back again. The second one, he gave him one shot, he stood up and was angry with him, he sat down. The third one looked at him humbly and told him, Maaf, I was sitting in your way. Then he went back. So he said, the first one was Sharia, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. You gave me one shot, I gave you one shot. The other one was Tariqat, that in this path that you forgive. That you forgive one another. What is the ayat? Who forgave and who made ihsan?
Man afa wa aslaha.
Man afa wa aslaha. The person who forgives. And haqiqah, the reality, the higher level is this, that you are humble. You don't worry about anyone. So just like that, The makatib, the ulama, darul ulums, they show us the path. We get the knowledge from them. Jamaat, we become conscious of our deen. How many of us were far from deen? We were not making our five times namaz. We were not keeping beard, skurta. Mashallah, we joined jamaat. All this came. And this haqiqat, this tariqat and haqiqat, this tasawwum, is that the inside qualities are there. It is the cherry on the top. And there are various levels. One is, for example, whole life we are making effort of deen. We became alims also. We made others also alims. But our niyat is not correct. Everything is destroyed. Our niyat is right. We did it with sincerity. Now Allah gave us lot of name and fame. People are praising us. Now pride comes in us. Immediately everything is washed away. So this is the khanqa work, to safeguard and protect our amal, so that our amal can be maqbool by Allah. Having knowledge is not enough. Making amal, which is very important, but still it's not enough. That amal must be with ikhlas, with sincerity. And when you do, and people now start praising you, pride mustn't come into you. You mustn't do it in order, now people say, big buzur, they're making not your khidmat, everything, and now you make dunya your object. Many people have gone offline because of that. And therefore it is always absolutely essential that we have a sheikh over us. Never stay without a sheikh. And by having a sheikh, That is also enough, just to have it. But the real thing is to have that contact with Krishna. Then the benefit will come. So those are little bit the benefits. The harms if we don't do this, if we don't make our islah, and which means in turn we don't become bad, we don't have a living contact with our share, we just living our lives, we are doing everything. We good husbands also, good parents also, and good ustads, we are imam, we are khatib, we are mudarris, we are doing our business, everything, but we are not making our islah. So what will be the harm if we don't do it? For example, you bought the latest Mercedes-Benz BMW, top of the series, but now you say, well, this is a car, you know, it's top, I don't have to maintain it, you don't take it for service, you don't fill petrol, you don't check your tire pressure, you don't check your battery, what will the car? So if you don't maintain your spiritual life, our physical health, we have to eat food, and those people don't really need medicine who have got a healthy lifestyle. The food is the best medicine if we eat the right food, in the right way, in the right proportion. That is the best. Fruit, what a great ni'mat. Medicine is, fruit is your medicine. But if you, now you don't eat, you are not eating the right food, you are eating wrong, what will happen to that person? So your house, you build a beautiful mansion, and now you don't maintain it. Every day you have to clean, every nook and corner you have to clean, all the time you have to maintain it. Your garden, though it's not an important aspect, but your garden, if you don't maintain it, what will happen? So if you don't maintain your spiritual life, you are not concerned, and for this du'as also we should make. Our iman, whether my tawheed is in order, or whether shirk has come, whether my iman is there, or whether traits of kufr have come into my iman, into my beliefs. And just imagine, think of it carefully, that the love of kufr is also kufr. And there also there are varying degrees. To love the religious things of the kafirs, that is extremely dangerous. But even just their way of life, their dressing, their lifestyle, their sports, and ask ourselves, forget the youngsters, as grown-ups, how many of us don't love that way of life? Though that won't be kufr, but the stains of kufr will come into our iman. It will destroy us. And how many of us, how many today, don't be fooled and don't try and sweep it under the carpet, don't play ostrich. We know our children who are in what environment. They still like our children, they live with us, eat with us, we go masjid, they come masjid, they wear burqa, the girls also, but in their heart, one girl just wrote now, she says, my mama wants me wear to burqa and I hate it. And my mama is the meanest person. She's forcing me to wear. I want to faint when I wear the burqa. 13-year-old girl. But how she got tawfiq to write, I don't know. What she expect me to say that, no, don't throw away the burqa. And then I don't know why she wrote. But just, this is the condition generally of our children. And many of us, we come for namaz, but our heart is not in namaz. Our heart is in the TV. Our heart is on the internet. Our heart is in the business. Our heart is not in the Ramzan, Taraweeh, Imam must just take 2 minutes extra, is a big problem. Our hearts are not there. So the things of kufr have come how much already in. It's a very, very dangerous situation. So if we don't take treatment of this and we have to go in the qabr, we're doing things for name and fame, all our amal is destroyed. We did it with sincerity. But just very briefly, Maulana Thani Rahmatullah Ali has written, a person who made 3 hajj in those days with great, great difficulty. And then when a visitor came, he told his servant or his son, bring the zamzam of my 3rd hajj and give him to drink. In other words, he wanted to make it known that I'm a triple hajj. In that one sentence, Maulana writes, 3 hajj with how much of expenses, how much of difficulty, how much of time gone down the drain. So if we don't make our islah, what and what can be happen? Haji Sahib asked me a nice question the other day. He asked, what is the difference of kar guzari and to show, for doing things for show? So Allah put it in my heart instantly. I said, it's on niyat.
If your niyat is to show, and now you are saying kar guzari, in the masjid you are saying, right? But you are doing it to show, we did this, we did the sacrifice, so lot of people got hidayah, that is destroyed. All your 40 days, your 4 months, your... But if you're doing it with ikhlas, to encourage other people, then mashallah, that is good. If you are doing it, so on niyat, so if our niyat we didn't work on, and it has to be worked on, we work on our cholesterol, we work on our weight, we say, my weight just don't want to go down, I'm trying so many things, you still keep on trying, but niyat, when did we make effort? So this is how, if we don't make our Islam, how dangerous it is. Then where to get this and who? As I said, we need these hospitals, we need the spiritual doctors. And shukr that alhamdulillah our great buzurgs came here. Our Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib came 10 times to our country. And this was his object. Once we took Hazrat to the Kruger Park, he said, I'm not going to see animals, I'm going to see the creator of the animals. And that also how to wean. And then Hazrat made sure, he invited his friends from Durban here, that there we will be free and we can have programs. All the other things will be off their mind. So Hazrat's object was that, his fikr, concern, how can people get their Islam. So that is where we will get it, what we call the khanqa. Still there are very few in our country, but slowly it is starting. This is absolutely essential for a person. Whether we are ulama, whether we are shopkeepers, whether we are doctors, professionals, whether we in jamaat work, for everyone this is also important, that our niyat comes right, that our amal is consolidated, that we say, if you work on your computer, whatever work you are doing, 5-6 hours, and at the end it comes save or delete, and by mistake you press the delete button, all your 5-6 hours work gone down, and you feel so hard to repeat that work again. So if we make all our amal, but we didn't save it with ikhlas, we didn't save it with humbleness, we didn't save it in asking Allah forgiveness our shortcomings in that, we deleting the amal. And if we have to delete our whole life's amal, so I hope that I could somehow, to some extent, explain that what is this work. Have we understood, inshallah? And then how important it is. And the relationship with all work, all is important. And everyone, also if you become bad, doesn't mean you're going to divorce your wife now and close your shop and just go and sit in the khanqa, or that you stop jamaat work, or that you stop teaching now. No, everything must carry on. And this must be added. Also one aspect of this work to understand is like you have a wonderful meal, but they didn't put salt in there. That you taste this. Just add the salt and see the enjoyment. Wonderful tea. Zafran also in the tea. And ilachi also in the tea. Everything, but no sugar. You're not enjoying that tea. Just add the sugar and now see how you enjoy that tea. So all our ibadat, all that we are doing, just add khanqa at the love of Allah. Our tazkiyah, our purity. If a person with dirty clothes, who likes a person with dirty clothes? With clean clothes, with a dirty heart, really, your wife doesn't like you if you got a dirty heart. Your children don't like you. How many cases the children are so upset with their parents because we didn't clean our hearts. Parents are so cross with their children, dirty hearts. So with a dirty heart, what's the condition? So cleanliness or purity of the heart, purity of intention, that is the medan, the field of the khanqa work. If we do that, there is only goodness. And if we don't, it's not a matter that it's just the end of it. If we don't make our Islam, we don't correct our heart. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the heart is such a thing. If it's good, the whole body is good. And if it's not good, it's not just that it's not good, it's bad. And if it's bad, the eyes will be bad. The thinking will be bad. Your hands you will use in the wrong way. And how many people, one friend, now he's got a problem, make dua, Allah make all of us our treatment. He's got this disease wherever he goes, family, wedding, anything, interferes with the woman. Touches this woman, he just can't stay with her. So this is a disease, and what a problem he's causing. Wherever he goes, he's just got the, and he's 5 times namaz, and he's the rozedar, everything. So this treatment, how important isn't it? A person who's got a drug addict, a person who's got is an alcoholic, really the solution are not the rehabilitation centers. The solution is in deen. Bring deen into our lives. Then a person, just this morning, Dr. Bayat was explaining us, a young woman, she became like a psychiatric case. And the psychiatrist gave up hope. When another Muslim doctor, a lady doctor, saw her, she realized she needs spirituality in her. The doctor, medical doctor, prescribed zikr for her, prescribed some muraqabah. She came right, a changed woman. Now her fikr was deen. Akhirah, they took her back to the psychiatrist. Psychiatrist said she's gone mad. Now that she's got fikr of deen and fikr of akhirah, the psychiatrist says now she's gone completely, she's gone mad. That is, the results will come. Allah has kept the result. Our deen is not deficient. Our deen is not short of anything. Our deen, that is our yaqeen. Allah gave us, and the deen wasn't for the camel age. The deen is for the Sputnik age and for the technology age. And till Qiyamah, this deen is a complete deen. But bring the deen into our lives. May Allah give us tawfiq to understand this. For that, this islahi jalsa. For this, all this effort, that how can we bring that reality into our deen? Not only the outward picture of it. Let us not be bluffed by titles, Maulana, Haji Sahab, Qari Sahab, Hafiz Sahab, all those titles. Let us not be bluffed with our topi, beard and kurta. But in our heart we've got dirt and filth. The important thing is to clean. Let us not be bluffed with our burqas. We are making 5 times namaz and I'm better than the other woman. Let us not be bluffed by those things. The reality has to come into the heart, and that is what is going to come out at the time of maut. What is in the heart and in the qabr, that is going to come out. Otherwise, to bluff people, one of those peer subs who come with their big turbans and all colorful clothing and big tasbihat. And one is, we also bluff the people with our fancy talk and our flowery talk and all that. But we remember, you can't bluff it. Nobody will bluff Malakul Maut when he will come. Worry about, have that worry in our hearts. May Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah. After namaz, there will be a short program also, inshallah. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. اللهم إنا نسألك حبك وحب من يحبك وحب عمل يقربنا إلى حبك. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها فأنت خير من زكاها، أنت وليها ومولاها. اللهم ارحمنا بترك المعاصي ولا تشقنا بمعصيتك. وصلى الله على النبي الأمي، سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله.